I'm Chris Harwood. This is live from Studio A. In the studio today, Shauna Heckman, along with her music partner, Dickie Brooks, who brought in some keyboards and computers and have got some great ambient music for us. It's great to have you guys here today. We'll talk in a minute, but I'd love to start out with a song if we can. Shauna Heckman live here in Studio A. It's the song In the Night. That's the lead-off track on your latest release called Wondrous.
Mm-hmm.
It's your third, technically. Now, I understand you did do an EP about 10 some odd years ago.
11 but years
I haven't
ago,
seen
yeah.
I haven't seen that one in a while.
So. I don't even have a copy of it anymore.
Wow.
Eric Berry and I just kind of, we started playing Pizza Luce on Tuesday nights in the bar, and so we had like five or so songs that we recorded, and it was just really off the radar, just kind of a secret little production.
I have to ask if you can recall back what that record was like. I mean, given Trampled by Turtles' more acoustic approach to music these days, and you're being a bit more electronic, was it a marriage of the two? Was
no.
he on your side of this electronic side of his production?
Was no, it was really right when I had started. I was just singing in groups before, and then I decided to bring piano back in my life. And so it was me kind of experimenting with the keyboard, basic keyboard, no vocal effects. And then he came in and he still did his wild, crazy mandolin work. And we just kind of blended the two. So there wasn't any electronica going on in that project.
I'll have to start combing the record shops for a used copy of that one. But or maybe you don't want it to see the light of day. I've met
I would love to find it, actually. I'm a little embarrassed to say that I can't even find a copy of it. Maybe he has it. But yeah, it was pretty off the radar, limited, but it helped us helped me. You know, Eric was playing a lot more then, but we played Bayfront together for the first time after that.
Okay.
There was the Beacon to the Bayou. I don't know if you remember that for Hurricane Katrina. And so that was Eric's first time playing on that stage too. So that kind of was that.
Now, let's jump forward 6 years to your next release. Sometime from there to, you know, from 2005 to 2011, you figured out something new to do. And you picked up synthesizers and...
Sort of. Not even there quite yet. 2011, between that time, I was still playing keyboard, and I was doing a lot of solo performing, too.
Okay.
Eric was kind of in and out. I was just writing and playing by myself. And then it wasn't until, I'm going to say 2009, roughly, 2010, my keyboard broke. And a coworker of mine was like, you need to contact Dickie Brooks. He's great with keyboards and he's the best piano player I know. So I didn't know him and I just called him, and from that he fixed my keyboard and we started talking about music and started that project, which was more of a pop rock. I mean, it was a, you know, 5-piece group. I still wasn't really doing any effects, a little bit, but I was still playing the Wurlitzer. And
now is this the Wurlitzer electronic piano with the metal reeds, or is this a Wurlitzer electronic keyboard? I mean, the old Ray Charles, you know, electric piano is what I'm talking about.
Yes.
Ah, that's a beautiful
instrument. It is.
I used to have one, too, and they were so fun but so hard to maintain. I'm not surprised that you needed somebody to fix it, because they can those reeds can snap, the tone bar can get fuzzy. So
it's a great piece. We use that as a writing tool now, which is really great to still have that, you know, as a piece of equipment that we don't really take it anywhere, but it's a beautiful sound.
And it really is. And it's you know, compared to like the Fender Rhodes, another electric piano from the time, both unique but similar, but both such a sound that really speaks to a time now. I think because they've been so hard to maintain, they're getting rarer and rarer. So they speak to me late 50s to mid 70s, and then after that they start to fade out.
Yep. So it's bright red. And
I'm a red one,
awesome.
Too. Yeah, and the last time I saw them were in music theory labs in the 1990s, but after that they started to fade out too.
Mm-hmm.
So from there, that record was a bit fuller, so that record, that EP, it was only I think 5 songs. I think that was the
Saturn Return. Yep.
Right, and you were using some electronic keys, but you weren't quite using as many vocal effects.
No,
is that what you're saying?
On the album we did, in the production side of things, we added a lot of delay and reverb to the vocals, but I wasn't triggering any of that live.
Oh, I see. Okay.
And I think that through that entire time, in my head, I was like, I still want this to morph into this style of music. That's always been my goal. And I feel like I've worked through all these different projects, playing solo, meeting new musicians, just networking, and still, like, every project has taken steps to evolve to that. So that started to kind of work its way into that genre just by being in the studio and saying, oh, I want to add a lot of delay on this vocal line. And so I think that was a good kickstart for it.
And that was going to be my next question was, did you have a goal in mind, or was this just something you sort of picked up little bits and pieces along the way? You sort of said you had this sound you were going for.
I think I've always wanted to create this style of music ever since I was introduced to it in high school, even listening to Daft Punk and Boards of Canada, just like, and these female vocalists that are featured on some of these albums, like, how do they do that with their voice? And really, it's just been about networking. And in 2006, it was a homegrown. I did have a project called Sense, which was two of these guys live in Minneapolis now, but they both had their computers and programmed all the beats, and I just sang, and they triggered all of my vocal effects live. So that was a really brief project, but it was that project where I was like, this is me.
So compared to the EP, when you say triggering live, is that, in other words, giving you the license to change as you want? Or is that because you want to have different effects in a song and it's a lot easier to...
Yep.
Okay.
Instead of asking the sound guy to just have reverb or delay on the soundboard going, like, now I use my own effects box. So I can trigger... Each song is set up differently for different reverbs, different delays.
And changing mid-song, too, I assume.
Yeah,
so, so you're playing your voice like an instrument. You're changing, you're getting different effects, not because you can, but because you want a different sound in a different part of the same song.
Yeah. And that was kind of my, with this new project, my focus was I want to use more of my voice as an instrument rather than playing piano. So now I'm just playing a synth and doing like smaller lead lines and finding those unique sounds rather than playing the main melodies.
Right.
I'm just, I think my strong point is more in my vocals rather than my piano playing. So it's nice to have a great keyboardist with me that can kind of do that work.
Now that's a technique. I mean, as far as being able to manipulate your voice electronically mid-performance is a very new idea. I think back even 20 years ago, it was trickier. Mm-hmm. Synthesizers were bigger. 40 years ago, they required a room, a room full of lots of patch cables, and also, you know, putting those effects in after the fact, like the Beatles in the studio trying to reverse their voices or put some electronic buzz on it. They couldn't really bring that on the road as well. But now with the, you know, the miniaturization, it's something you can bring with you to whatever stage you're at.
Mm-hmm. And there's still, I mean, I'm still learning. I don't have a pedal that I'm using, so I'm using a box which has a couple of different hit buttons. And so it's really, for me, it's timing in the song. Okay, when do you breathe? When do you hit this button so that the effect can kick in at the right time and not come in too soon, and then hitting it before you talk and hitting it before the next part comes in. Or multiple buttons if you want to add different layers. So this particular machine that I'm using, I have a lot left to learn, but it's good practice. I feel like I'm kind of moving around like a robot.
Yeah.
But it's good.
You were talking about influences before, and you'd mentioned a few that you'd heard as a teenager in high school. Mm-hmm. Was there a path that you found? Did you go from sort of one to the next, find one, and then find out who they were listening to? Or was it a question of just sort of hearing enough things at the same time? I mean, sometimes it's a journey, you know?
Yeah. I think I just purposely sought out female electronica artists. Mm-hmm. So I heard, you know, Daft Punk Around the World was probably the first big song that I heard in high school.
Right.
And I was like, oh, I like this style of programming and the production on it. And then I heard a different producer, Paul Oakenfold, and he had a female vocalist featured.
Yeah.
So then I just started, then I came across Imogen Heap and started watching what she does. And then it kind of led to Lamb out of the UK. She does, they're a very similar project. And then I just kept researching other artists because it's inspirational to hear what other people are doing. And I just, it was good for me to kind of study their technique. And since then, if I just search it, I mean, there's so many of these musicians over in Iceland and Sweden and England that you don't really hear about too often, but I'm kind of finding these awesome little secrets.
I mean, Europop, I think, is always a bit more open to, to some different sounds than I think the American pop market tends to be, so that wouldn't surprise me a bit. Yeah, that
Bjork was, she's a big one too. So, just, and I'm still doing that. I still, it's like, oh, I have to remember this person and look them up. I love what they did with their beats, or what is she doing to her voice? I want to see what they're doing. What's their live setup? What's who is this group? So,
now, had you studied music in school?
No, when I was younger, I mean, I didn't at UMD, but growing up, I took piano lessons and voice lessons, and I was a theater major for a while, and but I didn't take any music classes, and I kind of wish that I would have. Music theory, I think, is something I could always brush up on. But
yes and no. I mean, I having taken music theory myself, I can understand. I can see. Yes, that's a great tool. But clearly, there are so many artists who didn't necessarily hit the schools hard. So I understand. But I'm assuring you, don't worry about it. Your music sounds fine. So
I just make Dickie do all the work.
There you go. Well, I want to talk a bit more about your time in between records, but I guess I'd like to hear the next song if you're ready for it. Shauna Heckman, live in Studio A, right here on 103.3 KMD. Shauna Heckman, live Studio A, and Dickie Brooks is joining her on the keyboards as well. And it's always fun to see this performed because you hear it on a record and you don't know if it's 25 electronic musicians all playing things, if it's, you know, 3 keyboards, 10 keyboards, just to watch the physicality and see how it's being created. I think you can hear an acoustic guitar and a stand-up bass and pretty much figure what's going on in the room, but it's always fun to see how it's made. It's really fun to watch. So, and that's also from your latest record.
Yep.
That's Wandering Girls, the second track on the album. Mm-hmm. So this record now has been out since December, so not even quite half a year now. Mm-hmm. And I understand you've already got another one you're sort of thinking about.
Yes.
That's great.
Yeah, this album, I mean, basically this project, we spent almost 2 years just developing it, researching what kind of instruments we would need, who do we need to contact to make some of the production happen, just really taking our time. Because for me, it was like I had taken almost 4 years off from doing anything musically, focus on motherhood. And I was like, if we're going to do this, I want to take it really seriously and have it be the most professional approach that I've had with any project. Mm-hmm. If I'm going to try and make it something that's going to be consistent in my life in the genre that I want it to be,
right,
I want to do it right. And so we took almost 2 years just mapping it out in our minds and writing things down and researching, and did a Kickstarter to get the funds to record it and buy some of this gear. And this album really is a Kickstart album. The way that we wrote the songs, the way that we did things in studio, you know, afterwards we're like, oh my gosh, we could have saved so much time had we known you can do it this way. Yeah. And that just took time, like meeting people that produce this kind of music all the time. We're like, oh, if you just do this, then you don't have to spend all that time. So we both kind of look at this album like this was a great introduction to the style that we're creating and the path that we're going. But since then, we've adapted these skills and resources and have new material that is even more in line with the sound that I think I've been hearing this whole time. And so this material hasn't been recorded, and I just think we have to keep getting it out there. So that's our plans for the fall.
And a lot of electronic music up until recently, as I was saying before, very hard to play live. Bringing your gear with you now, that you, as you pick up these skills, as you've kind of come forward from project to project in this one and the next one that's coming up, are you streamlining? Are you making it more efficient? Are you figuring out the tricks that you can do with fewer pieces of equipment?
Yeah.
Rather than bringing a truckload of synthesizers and different effects boxes you can find.
A lot of it is with writing new songs. We can record. We have Ableton. So it's a program that you can use to basically record. A lot of electronic artists use it. But we can record the bass line, any kind of melody line with my synthesizer, backup vocals. We can record all of that into that program, have it mixed, mastered, ready to go as backing track, so that when we travel, we only need what I'm playing live for my parts, what he's playing live. Any guest instrumentalist or vocalist can just show up. But those tracks are all on the computer ready to go. So that's why you don't need 15 people playing keyboards.
Let's step back now and talk about this break. You made a choice that a lot of artists maybe, I bet, wish they had taken, you know, to take some time. You had a child and you decided, I need to slow down and focus on that. So many people these days are being told they need to continue to be working parents, and that just doesn't work for everybody. And you made that choice. What was the...
Yeah, well, we had moved to Stillwater. My husband is Brian Schanzebach, who has Blacklist Brewing. And so we had moved there because we had an offer to kind of start a brewery there. And I was pregnant during that time. And so life had shifted, not even just to being pregnant, but I wasn't in Duluth anymore. Right. So it was a whole new adjustment. And I honestly was just not inspired to write. I was just in a different place, a different headspace. And we were there for almost 2 years. So Oliver, our son, was born there. And then we moved back right before he turned one. And so I really needed that time. I just didn't have the energy, the inspiration. I needed to zone in and figure out.
And, you know, a lot of people make that choice because they don't want, you know, to have their kids' ears be hurt by banging on drums in the next room or whatever it is. But it's just that the drive just wasn't there for a while.
For a while. And then it kind of kicked in. And I think in retrospect, I'm looking and thinking, well, I think this child was your inspiration this whole time. It just took some years and some time to kind of gain myself back and get my energy back and have a routine again. And being back in Duluth with my, you know, musician pals, it kind of kicked in. Then it was like, no, you do need to do this. This is something that lives in you. You can't just stop.
But I've also seen from your website the video footage of your son playing, you know, banging the drums a little bit too.
Just
having some fun with it too. So it's great that it's not something you're trying to shield him from or anything. It's just, you know.
If anything, it's the opposite. I really want him to witness what it's like to keep pursuing your dreams. You know, he sees his dad doing it with the brewery, and I don't want to hide that from him, because when he gets old, you know, I want him to think that same thing when he gets bigger. And he loves music too, so that's a bonus.
That is a bonus.
So So
yeah, I'm sure there's some parents who wish their kids would follow somehow in their footsteps, but just turn off from whatever it is that they're doing. No, I don't want to do that at all. So
it'll be interesting. Yeah. So we're very open with it. But I think I just needed that time to let that be very clear to me once again.
Sure.
So now it's, and it was, I think I'm really, I always have this sense of like, oh, you know, you need to keep doing it. You're rushed to tackle something, but I'm finding if I slow down and actually put a little bit more time and patience into like this project, it's just a better outcome. And it's working so far.
So now with the new record out, you're basically kind of reemerged on the stage. And are you planning any touring now with this record or the next one or both in between? Are you?
I think, well, the plan right now is, so we have a show this weekend and then we're playing the Dylan Festival a couple weeks. But I think the plan is to write this summer. We need to write and we need to record this new material. So our plan is to record this fall. And I think after that, I would like to do even just a small little tour. Wisconsin, Minnesota, just to kind of expose it. But I really want to get this new material recorded because, as I was saying earlier, it's even more aligned with this style, this vision that we've had. We've just really fine-tuned things. I've met some people along the way that have helped that process. Right. So I want to showcase that. I don't
It sounds too like you've got some momentum. I mean, you were sort of loath to write for a couple of years, but now you got this record out. Yeah. Another one sounds like it's already coming along. So clearly the songs are starting to spill out of you a bit.
Yep. We have our process down, which is great because for a while we're like, oh my gosh, are we doing all of this backwards?
That's right.
But now we have a process. We have, you know, people that we are working with. Good resources, and it's good for me to have that for my times. Like, this is my work. When I get home, I can research and reach out to people, network. So there is that momentum now. We're like, let's keep these new songs going, and I need that for my creativity. I have to keep new things going. I can't just keep playing the same song. So I think that's where we're at.
Wonderful.
Write a bunch of new songs this summer and kind of have another boom in the fall.
Now, is it mostly going to be you and Dickie in the studio together, or is it going to be other people involved, too, that you usually have on hand?
Yeah, well, like the beats, those, we work with quite a few different people. Locally, the Crunchy Bunch, they did a bunch of stuff on this past album, Danecdote. And then we've started kind of networking with some people out of Minneapolis. So I guess you could count them. And then us, and we do want some guest instrumentalists. I'm not sure what those are going to be yet.
Right.
It's kind of something we're figuring out as we create these songs, because we can record strings, keys. Like, we can do so much of it ourselves.
Does the style of music that you're playing give you a certain freedom to not have to be in an acoustic studio with, you know, refined? You could be in a basement, you could be in a garage, you could be in your kitchen.
We do this in my living room. We can record everything right into it.
Right.
The only thing, you know, that vocals you really want to do in a studio. But other than that, we can get so much done, even with writing. But like, let's just record it, hear what it sounds like. If we hate it, it's really easy to just delete it or modify it. But at least we know the path that we're going on, rather than going somewhere, recording it, and you spend that money and you have that time and you're like, oh, I don't like any of it. I need to go back. So it's saving us a lot of time.
So you were not active during Homegrown Week. You didn't have a gig during that, but you've got one coming up this week. What did you just decide you didn't want to throw your hat in the ring this time?
No, I did. I actually saw it was a deadline error. I saw a date that wasn't the date, and
oops.
Yeah, so I think they were, you know, I said, I understand.
Yeah.
They're like, well, we'll try. And I just don't think there was a lot of space, and that was totally fine with us.
I heard there was a waiting list, actually.
Yeah. And I think they tried, and it's fine. I'm not heartbroken.
Well, it's not like you've been sitting still. You've got one coming up, as I say, this Friday. So.
I know. Just having, hopefully people have recovered. It should be fun. Abby Wolf's coming up. She's awesome. Murder of Crows. It'll be nice to celebrate Galen's success.
It's a great mix of those three.
Yeah.
That's because Murder of Crows have I'm going to use the word with a lowercase a. I'm very clear about that. Ambient sound.
Mm-hmm.
That there's some similarity.
Yep.
What you're doing, what they're doing. So.
Yep.
Yeah.
And I know Abby, she has new material that she's been kind of working on this winter. So it'll be fun.
Good. And that's this Friday. You're playing at 10, Murder of Crows at 9, and Abby Wolf at 11 at the Red Herring Lounge. So.
Yep.
it's been great having you guys here. I appreciate
Thanks.
It. And let us know when the next record's coming along. I know you've got some creative time in that first, but when it comes along, give us a copy. We'd love to
Absolutely.
Have it.
Absolutely. Thanks for having us.
Indeed. Shauna Heckman and Dickie Brooks here in Studio A. I'm Chris Harwood. Today's Live from Studio A, produced by Christine Dean, and Asher James helped us out, as well as Aaron Welch. To check out upcoming guests or listen to previous sessions, go to kmd.org and click on Live from Studio A under Programs. This is Live from Studio A on 103.3 KMD. Thanks for listening.